The Führer said that within 24 hours Paris would be declared an open city. The surrender of France was only days away. France would not fight on without Paris. A body dies when the head has been cut off. Mr. Churchill replied,
XPD by Len Dayton, dramatized in 8 parts by Michael Bakewell. Episode 7, The Geneva Raid.
Well, nothing fresh, Stuart. Nothing to report this fine morning?
Geneva just made contact.
Uh-huh. Good man, is he?
Yes, sir. Excellent.
Ah, Hugo Koch, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Fine people, Swiss. God-fearing, industrious, and logical. Yes, I like them. And they've helped the department a lot from time to time. If what you overhear about the Swiss intelligence service, nothing, and that's what I like about them. Well, what's Koch to say for himself?
Cliver seems to have taken your bait, sir. It's obvious he's convinced the papers are in Pittman's house.
I just hope to God we're right, Stuart, and they're not there.
Breslau arrived in Geneva an hour ago. Koch reports a lot of activity at the lakeside house that Cliver has rented. It's right opposite the Pittman house. And a neighbour says that security company guards arrived with boxes of guns.
Boxes of guns? Oh, you mean boxes with the words guns stenciled on the outside?
They were security company vans. Cliver owns a security company. Armoured vans, by the sound of it. Wire mesh on the windows and so on. It's not the sort of thing that delivers groceries, sir. It was driven to the back of the house to unload. Heavy
cars. Yes, all right, Stuart. You've made your point. No need to labour it. Guns, eh? So, Cliver's planning an armed raid on Pittman's house.
That's what it sounds like, sir. Cliver's hired a 50-foot motor yacht, the Citroen, and spends a lot of time cruising along the side of the shore.
Well, you realise that if we're wrong, we'll have sent Cliver and his thugs to the very place we don't want them to go. They'll get those damn documents, and we'll have given them every assistance.
Just play the tape back to me, will you, Max? I want to check something.
The first boatload of men must stay at the lake shore until all the boats are secured. The Pittman house is 150 meters from the landing stage. Any boats found at the landing stage must be totally disabled by the landing party from boat one. No one will move from their position until all boats are secured and contact has been made with the party arriving by road. The two advanced men of the road party will use red flashlights to identify themselves. The two advanced men of boat one will use only green flashlights.
It will be easy, Max.
I don't like it. We still don't know what the documents are like. If they're all contained in metal filing cases, it'll take all night to get them out of the house and load it onto the trucks.
Of course it will. At least it would, if that was what I intended to do.
I don't see what you mean.
We'll take possession of the Pittman house. We'll hold it for 2 or 3 days. A week, if it takes a week. We'll stay there as long as we have to.
My God, Willie, you don't know what you're saying.
I'm a gambler, Max, and always have been.
You really propose to hold out there, keeping the Americans captive?
You've seen what the Pittman house is like. There'll be no difficulty in embarking our people from the lakeside. It'll be quiet and discreet. They have only to come from Coppe on the far side of the lake. One carload of our best people will arrive at the Pittman house by road. No one in the village will hear shooting. There will be no lights. In the boats, we are all wearing party clothes. If the Americans get rough and the neighbors get inquisitive, we'll be there in fancy dress to explain the commotion and apologize for the disturbance.
How many men?
15 men should be sufficient. They're all well-trained people from my own security company. I use them only on the most dangerous assignments. Kidnap threats, murder threats, and so on. They know what to do.
Can they keep their mouths shut?
These are all men who depend upon me to keep my mouth shut. These are good men, Max. They are all men like us. Now stop your worrying. I want to show you my arsenal.
This is our operations center. The armory is located through here. In the wine cellar. Here we have everything we are ever likely to need. Guns, machine guns, handcuffs, other types of restraints, cutting tools, and a thermic lance that will cut through solid steel. We have extra inflatable boats, and in the old kitchens, enough food to feed a company of soldiers for a month. And look here. Do you see? Mace. Still the best disabling weapon I know, and it contains no toxic apart from tear gas.
You're crazy, really.
How did you get all this stuff? Where have you been living for the last few years? Venus? Mars? Saturn? I'm the virtual owner of the best damned security company in West Germany, even if we're not yet the biggest. All of this material is legitimately owned and operated by our Swiss associate, of which I am the vice president. The company is licensed to have the weapons you are looking at, Max. Our only undertaking to the government is to have them under proper safekeeping so that they are not stolen by terrorists.
All this stuff, and legal, too.
Oh, the police turn a blind eye to me. My company undertakes some dangerous work, Max. I have contracts to provide protection for many members of the government, as well as wealthy businessmen. I've helped to plan the security of some international conferences. We are hoping to get the job of protecting the next OPEC meeting in Europe. Let's go back up. We've got to hit them suddenly and hard. That's one thing I learned in the war. We've got to get into the Pitman house and let them see a lot of men with a lot of firepower. That's the way to save lives and save ourselves a lot of trouble.
I suppose so.
I wish you'd shake off this negative attitude, Max. I wish you'd tell me that you are committed.
All these years, I've done everything I can to keep out of trouble, to avoid the limelight. If anything goes wrong with this operation... Did you know that the Americans deport men back to the place where their war crimes were committed?
You're not still worrying about that old woman in Boston who thought she recognized you? Are you worried about publicity if something goes wrong?
I was at Lubomi, really. I wasn't there when the massacre took place, but I did go there. I wonder if that's where she saw me. I've lain awake night after night thinking about it.
Poland?
The town is now inside the USSR border. I'd be deported to Russia. You know what they do with anyone who was in the SS.
This is a map of the layout of the Pitman house. Will you go into the gate with the road party, Max?
Yes.
That's excellent. I want someone there who can talk himself out of trouble and extricate the truck and the road party if something goes badly wrong.
Where will you be?
I shall be with the boats. For us, it will be easier to disappear.
Are you arming the road party?
I can't decide. There's every reason to hope we'll go right into the house and need nothing more lethal than a finger in a coat pocket. But we have to remember that they are ex-soldiers, just as we are. They might have kept up their military style. They might have sentries posted. They might be armed to the teeth, Max.
I doubt it. I can't think of anyone less military than Charles Stein.
Let's hope you're right.
When we get the documents, what then? Do we take them to Dr. Bodker?
I'll handle it. It's all arranged.
Suppose you're hurt, Vinnie, or even killed.
If anything happens to me, you must telephone Chicago, a man named Edward Parker. I'll write down his number for you.
Does this Parker know about Charles Stein?
He knows about everything.
Uh-huh.
Here.
I feel sorry for Stein.
Sorry for him? What sort of man is he? We finished his bank. Why didn't he sell you the papers for whatever he could get for them? Do you think he understood the offer?
He understood, all right. I told him I'd arranged to sell the documents to a big corporation, which would give him cash up front and a percentage, too.
So why does he turn down the chance to salvage his business affairs? Doesn't he realize that his life is in danger?
It's the other way round. He knows that nothing will happen to him until we get our hands on the Hitler minutes. Now, after that, he's no fool, Willie. He's frightened, but he's not so frightened that he will hand over those damn papers.
Well... Now we do know where those papers are. Stein's missed his chance.
Coffee and cakes as usual, Monsieur Stein.
Yes, please, Madame Erring, as usual. No, for two. The colonel will be arriving in a few minutes.
The colonel always used to say that coffee didn't agree with him.
Maybe today he won't care. There's something else. I need the key for the safe.
I'll get it for you, Monsieur Stein. Well, you'll find everything in good order. There's not much petty cash, I'm afraid.
I don't want to touch anything of yours, Madame Meringue. I want a package I left there.
That's all as you left it, Monsieur Stein. Here's the key. You help yourself. I'll go and get the coffee.
Oh, 2503489001. So there, chairs, and the folder.
The colonel has arrived, Monsieur Stein.
Thank you, Madame Loring. So, this is where you keep the Hitler minutes. It's ingenious. A safe within a safe.
And who would be looking for anything in the safe of a small tea room? The minutes are right here. You want to see them?
Thank you, Charles. Yeah, they've still got the old inventory tag, typed by some poor inventory clerk in G5. Merkers H6750, type written documents, German language, approx 30 pages. You wouldn't guess it's the biggest thing since the atom bomb.
The coffee is ready.
Hey, come in, Madame Meringue.
Here you are. And your favorite cake, Monsieur Stein.
Thank you.
All right. What are we going to do, Charles?
We're going to get out of this town and out of this country.
No, I don't want to leave this place. It's my home, Charles. Everything I need is here. Where am I going to find another doctor I can trust? Where am I going to find servants I can rely on? I love my home, Charlie. Must I go?
I think you should go, Colonel.
What about your son, Billy?
Holding Billy don't cut any ice with me. I told that schmuck the British sent out to see me in L.A. I told him that if they didn't release Billy, I'd give Xeroxes of all this junk to Stern Magazine and the Washington Post, making it a condition that they campaign for Billy's release. Now, come on.
Yeah, you're right. I'll drive you to the airport, and then I'll take my car across the border into France. There's a hotel on Lake Annecy where I go sometimes. I could stay there for a few days until it's blown over.
It's not going to blow over, Colonel. We're fighting City Hall, don't you see that? The Brits and the Krauts both want the Hitler minutes. If we don't let them have them, they'll blow us away. But if we do let them have them, they'll still blow us away.
Oh, I'm too old to run, Charlie. Too old and too exhausted. When you get to my age, nothing matters anymore.
Colonel, we've got to get going.
But, Max, there's a room fitted up for you here. What do you want to book into a hotel for? I put a couple of bottles on ice.
I'm sorry, really, but I've already checked in. I had to leave a number where the studio could reach me, and my wife. She always worries when I'm away.
Perhaps we should give her some calls, Max. There's a new striptease club in town. Oh, please stay, Max.
I'll come back this evening, really. I'll have a bath and some dinner and then come round for a drink.
That's good. I'll drink you under the table, Max. Be warned.
I mustn't be too late to bed.
Nonsense. A Saturday evening in August with the whole town waiting for us. How can you talk of going to bed early? I tell you what. We could go across the board to Evian and try luck at the casino. Or if it's girls you're in the mood for.
I don't know how you do it, Willie. I really don't.
Meet me here at 9. It will give me time to win a new client. If the job he wants to talk about is what I think it is, Max, the evening is on me.
A wealthy customer?
When a man calls long distance every 30 minutes and says he needs to speak to me concerning a matter of great importance, it usually turns out that his wife is jumping into bed with his chauffeur.
Really, Willie?
Or that his mistress is jumping into bed with his chauffeur. The more they make it sound like a matter of international diplomacy, the more certain I become that it's a little domestic drama.
I didn't know your company took on such domestic dramas nowadays.
All my staff are very highly paid, Max. They don't mind if they're guarding the president or recording the whispers of an insatiable wife. And why should they mind? I tell these clients that using my organization will cost them 10 times what a small company specializing in divorce would charge. They don't care, Max.
They want to pay more. The elemental fury of vengeance motivates these people. They want to hurt. They want to humble. They want to assault the one who has caused them pain. Lacking the physique or the skills or the temperament to do it directly, they use the only weapon they have, money. They pay Max because they want to pay.
You horrify me, really.
I'd give this fellow 30 minutes. He's a wealthy man. He's come all the way from Dortmund to see me. We had an appointment for tomorrow morning, but I'm sure he'd see me now.
If it develops into something important, phone me at the hotel and let me know.
30 minutes is all he gets. I'll be back here by 9 tonight, and that's a promise.
Cut the speed, little Colonel. This is no time to get a ticket for speeding.
Hey. You all right? You all right, Colonel?
Yeah, it's just indigestion. I shouldn't have touched that cream cake and coffee. Never agrees with me. Right now, all I want is an Alka-Seltzer and a snooze by the fire.
Sorry, Colonel. There'll be time for that later.
I always followed your advice, Corporal. Since that first day we met when I was just a raw lieutenant. And you told me not to go into Patton's tent without wearing leggings and without my pistol strapped on.
And I was right, Colonel. That sounds like it's all over for the bank, huh? Sounds like they want us to be skinned alive.
Yeah, I tried to get interbank loans, but none of the big banks are willing to cover us. Maybe they're scared of the Kreditanstalt. Maybe they're sore because we didn't syndicate the deal with them.
And maybe they've been warned off by that bastard who set us up.
Anyway, going away won't help me.
But listen, we've got enough money in those shares for both of us, Colonel.
Oh.
We'll split it down the middle, you and me.
No, it's your savings, Charlie. I cut.
What do I want with savings? How long have I got ahead of me, huh? 10 years. Or, if I lose 50 pounds and stick with nuts and natural yogurt, 20, huh? So how much do I need? I've got over $2 million here, Colonel.
No, I'm not sorry, Corporal. You know, if I could go back to that night around the stove when we first talked about it, I'd do the same thing all over again.
You mean 1945. I'd told you about the Nazi gold and how we could lose a few trucks of it.
Yeah. If only it had been just the gold. If only we hadn't landed ourselves with the Hitler minutes. Like some ancient curse.
We're stuck with them now, Colonel. The surest way we're going to stay alive is to hang on to them.
Is that Herr Krebs' secretary?
That is correct.
Oh, this is Willy Kleiber. I find I have half an hour gap in my schedule. I thought that if Herr Krebs wanted to see me so urgently, perhaps we could meet early evening.
Herr Krebs has a dinner engagement.
So do I. I must leave by 8 o'clock.
Herr Krebs is having dinner in Venice. Venice, Italy, Herr Kleiber. He will be using his private jet.
But couldn't he...
Hold the line a minute, please.
Come in.
You left no instructions about the yacht, Herr Kleiber. Will you be taking it out again?
No, not this afternoon. The crew can stand down.
Thank you, sir.
Herr Kleiber?
Yes, I'm still here.
Herr Krebs will see you this evening.
Ah.
Be at Geneva Airport at 6 o'clock sharp. You can speak to Herr Krebs on the aircraft, which will bring you back to Geneva again at 7:30.
Excellent.
Wait by the bar on the departures level, and one of the staff will take you through the formalities. Be sure you bring your passport. You'll have to clear customs and immigration.
I understand.
One more thing, Herr Kleiber. I am responsible for Herr Krebs' personal safety and security. You will make quite sure that you are not carrying anything that could possibly be used as a weapon. You might be asked to submit to a body search. You are a professional, I believe, so I'm sure you will understand the reason for such precautions.
I do.
6 o'clock sharp, at the bar on the departures level, Geneva Airport. The crew member will be wearing a plain blue uniform with a peak cap.
I'll be there.
Yeah,
I always try to be fair, Charles, but you know I never was much of a soldier.
Come on, Colonel.
No, you kept us going. You understood the men better than I ever did.
We were all too gung-ho.
No, I was a hothead, trying to get the Congressional Medal of Honor in my first hour of combat.
You nearly made it, Colonel.
Yeah, I nearly made it, Chuck. Trouble was, I wiped out half the company in the attempt.
You all right, Colonel?
Yeah, just this indigestion.
You want me to drive?
No. I'll be all right, Corporal. Should I keep on the airport road?
Take the outer route. Colonel, I think we are being followed.
Huh? What's that?
The same car's been behind us ever since we left Roland. It's a white mini.
Put your foot down. Yeah, I'm not any kind of a ace driver, but I'll do what I can.
Yeah, he's following us, all right. No doubt about that.
And we'll just have to see what the car can do.
That's it, Colonel. Keep it up.
Yeah. Over 100. Is he falling behind?
Keep your foot down. He hasn't got a hope.
Just as well. We kept the car in good order, huh?
Colonel! What the hell?
Take the wheel, Corporal. Take the wheel.
Holy cow!
Would you please take a seat at the very front, Mr. Clabber? Herr Krebs is already aboard. He'll come forward to you in a few minutes.
Oh, thank you. Champagne cocktail, sir.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Would you mind fastening your seatbelt, sir? We're about to take off.
All right.
Steward?
Yes, sir?
I think the cocktail needs more bitters. It tastes odd.
Right. More bitters, sir.
Yes, Steward. I feel very hot.
He's out for the count, Mel. Where the hell did you get those Mickey fins?
Bartender on 3rd Avenue.
Remind me never to go there. Went pretty smooth, huh?
Thanks to a little cooperation from Herr Krebs.
What do they do with this guy, Mel?
Looks like there'll be enough evidence to hang that California murder on him.
You gotta be kidding. We didn't snatch this guy just to hand him over to the Justice Department. And if he goes to court on a murder rap, he ain't going to be too happy about the travel arrangements we made for him. Why don't you level with me?
I don't run the company. I just work for it.
You think they're going to turn him around?
Give him a job with us, you mean? Sure as hell hope not. I don't want to be working with a murderous bastard like that.
New policies mean new allies. New allies mean new friends. That's the name of the game, Mel.
Forsake not an old friend, for the new is not comparable to it. A new friend is his new wine. When it is old, then thou shalt then drink it with pleasure.
Don't say nothing about slipping anybody a Mickey Finn.
What the hell? Stuart.
This is Koch. Pittman is dead. He was making a run for the airport and I was on his tail. His car was out of control. I think he must have had a heart attack. I managed to get him out before the car burst into flames. I got his passenger out as well. I imagine from your description that it was Charles Stein.
What happened to Stein?
I don't know. I saw him staggering about by the side of the road in a state of shock. By the time I'd got Pittman out of the car, he disappeared. After that, I was too worried about the car going up.
Okay. But you searched Pittman?
Oh, credit card, some money, passport, nothing unusual. I put it back.
You did a good job.
And I have a packet here.
Packet?
It was under Stein's seat. I thought it might be something you were interested in. A sealed plastic bag containing an old wartime dossier. There's a tag which reads, typewritten documents, German language, approximately 300 pages. Do you want me to send it? I haven't opened it.
Leave it sealed and don't let it out of your sight. I'll get the first flight tomorrow and come straight to your home. Meanwhile, don't go out. Not even to get cigarettes, you understand?
I don't smoke.
Is that Edward Parker? My name doesn't matter. I'm telephoning from Geneva, Switzerland, on behalf of a mutual friend named Wilhelm. You understand?
Yeah.
It's all gone wrong here. I was due to meet him this evening, but when I drove past his house, it was surrounded by the police. They're carrying out boxes of weapons. I drove straight here to the airport, and there's something else. Do you know a man called Stein?
Yeah.
Good. Well, he's here, and he's about to board a flight to Los Angeles. His clothes are torn, and his face is badly bruised. Well, how should I know whether he has any documents with him?
Yes, what is it?
My name is Stewart. Boyd Stewart.
Ah.
Here's my ID.
Come in, Mr. Stewart.
Thanks.
Please, sit down. Would you like some coffee?
Thanks, that'll be great.
It is ready.
You weren't hurt in the accident?
Oh, I spent a year driving a police car. I always keep a stretch of road between me and the cars ahead.
Can I have a look at the documents?
Documents?
The sealed packet you found in Pittman's car.
But didn't they tell you?
Tell me what?
Someone came to collect them early this morning.
In XPD by Len Dayton, Boyd Stewart was played by Trevor Nichols, Sidney Ryden, David Garth, Charles Stein, Bruce Burr, Max Breslow, Bernard Hepton, Colonel Pittman, Barry Morse, Willy Kleiber, Clifford Rose, Hitler Minutes, Colin Starkey, Madame Maring, Mary Wimbush, Kalkhoven, Stuart Milligan, Wynne, Lou Hirsch, Koch, Gerard Green. XPD is dramatized by Michael Bakewell and directed by Peter King.